This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. This morning, we revisit the PBS documentary Cancer, the Emperor of All Maladies. The six-hour series aired about a month ago. A portion of the documentary was shot at the Charleston Area Medical Center. The segment highlighted the hospital's use of chemotherapy treatments and its emphasis on palliative or end-of-life care. Here's an excerpt. CAMC clinical oncologist Dr. Suzanne Cole speaks with a patient about her diagnosis of stage 4 lung cancer.
It's very hard to talk about death to somebody who's in relatively good health. You know, somebody who's just been diagnosed with a cancer, they may not even feel it inside of them. And you have swollen lymph nodes all along that area, and there's one that's kind of higher up that I'm worried about. But if they're in a situation where it could happen, they need to know that that's a possibility. And I just believe in that core principle so deeply that it really guides me in how I talk to every single one of my patients. Tell me what you know about your lung cancer.
I have just really known for 3 days that I have cancer.
Okay.
I was just diagnosed.
The patient Dr. Cole is speaking with is Nancy Tonkin of Charleston. She's a familiar face at the state capitol. She's been a lobbyist for many years, working on healthcare issues at the state legislature. She joined me in the studio this month to talk about her diagnosis and how she came to be featured in the series Cancer, the Emperor of All Maladies.
I had been on a cruise. I had been exercising all summer. I had been wearing a Fitbit. On my cruise, I walked 10 to 20,000 steps every day. I came home, caught a cold on the plane coming back from the Mediterranean cruise, and it wouldn't go away. So I went to my heart doctor. He did all the heart workup because, no, Nancy, heart's good. Let's go pulmonary. So they sent me for a X-ray, and I took it at 5 o'clock at CAMC. My physician, Dr. Miller, called me at 7 o'clock that evening and says, Nancy, you have a lot of blood clots in your lungs, plus we've got something else going on. I need you to go to the emergency room. I was in the emergency room at CAMC at 9 o'clock that night. So 4 hours from really not thinking I had anything wrong with me. I've told I have lots of blood clots, and the cancer causes blood clots. I had no knowledge of this. Beth, I had been walking and hiking and enjoying my summer, and I was very healthy. I was totally shocked. So that was Monday night where they first said, we think you have a tumor in your lung. So tomorrow we are going to do more CAT scans. So did lower body CAT scans and bone scans, and I had blood clots in my lower legs, which is where they start and then come up. So the blood clots really could move around. You can have an aneurysm or a heart attack or embolism in your lungs. So my doctor was very concerned, and he had said, you need to go to the hospital now. You need to be prepared to stay for a few days because we've got to melt these. We've got to figure out what's going on and get rid of the. So then I was assigned another physician through the oncology. So this is Monday night. Suzanne Cole comes in after all these tests, and she says, Nancy, you have lung cancer, liver cancer, and lots of spots, bone cancer. And I was like, are you kidding me? I wasn't even feeling bad, except for just having this hanging on cold was what brought me to the investigation through the healthcare system. And I got to tell you, I was really happy with how quickly they evaluated me. Suzanne came in and said, you know, how do you want to learn this? You want the good, bad, and ugly, or you just want the, no, I want to hear it all because I need to know it all. I need to know what I'm dealing with. So I was really in shock that, you know, it was just really a fluke that Suzanne, she came in and she said, PBS is doing a special. Would you mind being part of it? And I've got to tell you about your diagnoses. And so I was really shocked and really thought it was a death sentence when they told me this on, you know, like the 16th of November. And I kept thinking while she was talking, what if I'm dead when they show this show in 18 months? Because they thought it would be 15, 18 months before it was on the air. I thought, my girlfriends and my family is going to be really unhappy that, you know, I'm not around.
Are you interested in knowing numbers about your prognosis? Are you interested in that kind of thing? Or are you too overwhelmed with all of it to...
Yes, I'm the type of person that likes to know as much information as possible.
When we're dealing with a stage 4 lung cancer, we know that it is not a curable situation. It is treatable, and we can do things to intervene and help you live as long as possible. But because this cancer has spread through the body, it's much more likely that this cancer is going to be the thing that takes your life rather than something else.
Well, you gave a deeper explanation than I had heard earlier today, so...
I wish that we had some magic medication that would make this all disappear. All of the treatments are to give you as much time as possible. And that's just being, you know, as straight about it so
Which
that
I appreciate.
You have a good sense of what you're really dealing with and you can make the best choices in the context of your life, knowing that we might be on limited time.
Well, this just really sucks.
It does. And I'm sorry.
Yeah, me too.
Why I am here? I've always been an advocate for good quality health care. And what I saw in the hospital as a patient, and I've never had a baby. I had my tonsils out in the fifth grade. That was the extent of my hospital care. And when they found the lung cancer and the liver cancer, there was an argument, really, between the pulmonary doctor, the radiologist, and my oncologist, where they would get the biopsy. And I didn't want them to take it from the lung because it was going to be a very... It was going to be tough on me, and the liver biopsy was going to be a better option in my mind. So as the patient, that's what I wanted. And the radiologist, because of the tonsillectomy, they found out early in my life I have a clotting factor missing in my blood. I'm not a bleeder, but it complicates surgery. And so my numbers and on my blood work is a little different. So the radiologist didn't want to puncture my liver because that's all full of blood vessels and they thought I would bleed out. They weren't really sure. So they were saying pulmonologists do this. Well, my oncologist settled it and we did the liver biopsy, which is what I wanted. So to me, that was the management among the physicians and what the patient wanted is what happened with the liver biopsy. So I was very... And I had just learned that before Dr. Cole had come in and told me that. So I was very pleased with my oncologist's advocacy work on my behalf.
I see.
So that was what I was feeling at that point. I wasn't feeling so much about what my diagnosis and outcome, short-term, long-term, was going to be. But I was, like, really impressed that the physicians had stepped up. And I talked about that in the interview some, but it did not make it on the movie.
So that's the backstory of sitting there in the bed, listening to Suzanne Cole, you have already found out, yes, they're going to do the procedure that I want them to do. You looked almost calm in that segment.
Well, one of my girlfriends who has seen that segment has said, you weren't, Nancy, you really were not focused on what Suzanne was, how bad it was that Suzanne was saying. And But I was thinking about what a good job they had done advocating for me, so I was feeling comfortable that I was going to have good care. And, yes, I had been wondering, you know, how bad is this? And my mother died of lung cancer 20 years ago. My father died of pancreatic cancer 6 years ago. So, and both have been through hospice. I'm comfortable with the hospice world, the routine. Definitely will go there when the time comes for me. I'm not Yes, everyone's scared of dying, and it's this process has brought me a lot closer to my God and my beliefs, and I've had a lot of support from my church members and my pastors. And so I was scared, but I had confidence in the healthcare system and in being taken well care of.
Nancy Tonkin was featured in a segment of Cancer, the Emperor of All Maladies. But her story doesn't end there. As she was undergoing treatment for cancer, she found out that medical insurance companies would not pay for her oral cancer therapy. They would only pay for the intravenous cancer treatment. That's when Nancy Tonkin, the lobbyist, got to work. Tomorrow, on our occasional series, Effective from Passage, Nancy tells us about the effort to educate the 2015 legislature about the disparity in medical coverage for cancer treatments. This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:53. Rain and thunderstorms today. Temperatures in the 60s. They continue tonight with lows in the 40s. Mostly cloudy on Friday with a chance of rain and thunderstorms. Mostly sunny for the weekend with highs in the 60s and 70s.
Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by the West Virginia Division of Rehabilitation Services, enabling and empowering workers with disabilities to meet business workforce needs. Employer services at wvdrs.org.
Heavy rains have caused multiple mudslides throughout southern West Virginia this spring. One mudslide has closed a portion of U.S. Route 60 for much of the last 2 weeks. Roxy Todd attended a community meeting yesterday where officials from the Department of Transportation told residents that they hope to be able to open one lane of traffic by Friday evening.
Since Route 60 has been closed since April 19th, Jean Carey says she's actually been parking her car at the Cedar Grove Go Mart and walking over a mile to her home. She remembers what it was like during the first few days of the mudslide.
It was like Niagara Falls, but it was mud and trees and rocks.
Carey and other residents say they've seen rock slides along Route 60 in the past, but they've never seen this much water pouring out of the mountain. Carey says the closure of Route 60 has been an inconvenience, but others have suffered much worse. In eastern Kanawha County, gas stations have lost business and most commutes have more than doubled as a result of the mudslide. Delegate Nancy Guthrie says the mining companies here are also being affected by the closure of the highway.
They mine an awful lot of coal. Well, as soon as the cave-in started, well, you can't get over Route 60. So now all of these truckers are going to get laid off.
The mudslide is still moving, and boulders, trees, and mud have been sliding into the highway for the past 12 days. Depending on the weather, the plan is to use a crane to get an excavator onto the hill within the next few days to push off the large portion of mud and debris. If that happens, the State Department of Highways will reopen one lane of traffic. They say it might be weeks before both lanes reopen. The Department of Transportation and Appalachian Electric Power are partnering on the cleanup efforts. Brent Walker, spokesperson for the DOT, says this spring they've been involved in dealing with rock slides and mudslides throughout West Virginia.
When you have a slide, and by the way, this is a major deal, no doubt about that. We've got hundreds of those across the state.
And if the weather West Virginia has been having this spring is any indication, then there likely could be more rain and more mudslides in the coming years. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Roxy Todd in Bell.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.